Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second lesson on the theme, Having Put Your Hand to the Plow. Our Lord said, one who has put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. He is teaching here, friend, the possibility of apostasy, having once come to him and falling away. He did not ever teach or condone the idea of once saved, always saved. He is warning against falling away and the dire result of those who do fall away. Now, we've pointed out the fact that one can fall away, the many scriptures that teach that one can fall away, those who have fallen away, and we've looked at some of the causes that cause people to fall away. And we want to go forward with that. One of the things that we mentioned in our previous lesson was the securing of an education. Seeking a secular education is a good thing, but it can be a provocation to apostasy. You see, some compromise their convictions once they are on the godless campus. When the immature and ungrounded youth are thrown into the den of modernists and evolutionists and liberals, and the immoral activities that characterize nearly every campus in our nation, especially among the state-operated schools, the pressure often becomes more powerful than one's ability to resist. Oh, it's not easy to be a Christian when nearly everything and everyone around you is yelling, why, there's nothing to Christianity. It's just a superstition. It's irrelevant. It's archaic. It's not the end thing to be a child of God. On one campus, poll was taken where there were 200 students that enrolled as freshmen that were members of the church. But at their fourth year, only five were still faithful in the Lord and His church. Now they fell away. But now not all the blame can be laid on the shoulders of the schools and on these wiser-than-God so-called professors who think it's their calling in life to try to destroy faith. While much of the blame does rest there, some who are members of the church do not really lose their faith at college. The truth is, the college situation took advantage of the fact that they didn't take much faith with them when they went to school. They went away untrained and undisciplined, ill-taught. They had a borrowed faith. They believed because others believed. They never really came to know the difference between right and wrong for themselves. They and their parents and their Bible school teachers and church leaders, they wasted time during the formative years to instill in the heart of the young people a deep, personal, sincere, knowledgeable conviction for the truth. And once they were away from an environment that was favorable to being faithful, they met opposition that overturned what little faith they might have developed. Oh, how important it is to see to it that the young come to know the truth for themselves. Now, there are schools that are operated by faithful Christians, and they're operated for the purpose of securing a secular education and have historically been a great assistant to the home in preserving the values and the standards that are upheld by the Christian home. The goal of those schools is to provide a learning environment that's compatible with Christianity. And this ambition is worthy and it's honorable. Too often in recent years, we're made aware that there have been some in these schools who seem to have been a funnel for digression. They've led apostasy. They've taught false doctrines and modernisms. Too many of these so-called Bible professors have drunk so deeply of the error that they attained in their theological degrees, and they pour that into the minds of an undiscerning youth, and they go back to the church and they distort the things of the truth. As a result, those in some of these Bible departments have become some of the worst enemies for the faithfulness of the church that presently exists. Now I know that this is blasphemy to some who love the school seemingly more than they love the truth. But let us not be naive. Let's don't be blind to the realities among us. We pray to God that those of the schools would function as they intended to function and to teach faith in biblical truth. Not all of them are doing that. Not the theories and the philosophies and the social changes that some are preaching and teaching, the liberal apostasies that have characterized too much in recent years. We're not too optimistic that some of these schools that have gone that direction are going to turn around. The schools I went to, they've some of them gone completely off. But the so-called scholarship, to be acceptable among some, it has become the campus god, rather than thus saith the Lord. That must always be the standard in every biblical teaching situation. But another prominent cause of digression and falling away of many families can be true especially of young families. Young families that are just coming along. They're building their homes, they're building their businesses, they're building their families, and they just become too busy with the affairs of this life to the extent that the Word of God is choked out. Well, Jesus warned about this sort of thing in the parable of the sowing of the seed. Some become so busy making money, and they're pushing this and promoting that the church is gradually crowded out of their lives. They seek social acceptance, though that becomes so paramount with some. Places of recognition in the community, that's a great desire of others. Bible study and prayer, reaching out to the conversion of the lost, regular and faithful worship, the work of evangelism, that becomes second place with a lot of people. If they seek the things of this world, because some seem to think they've got to make their mark in the world by partaking of the things of the world. And partaking of the things of the world, they gradually lose their interest in the cause of Christ. Well, all ages are affected by the unwillingness to give up the old man of sin. Sometimes people just won't cut loose from their former ways. It's true that we have habits and attitudes and practices that sometimes are simply and downright unchristian. Yet when we become a Christian, we're supposed to turn loose of those things. But we hold on to them. We try to live in the world and in the church at the same time. God's not going to tolerate that kind of hypocrisy. But the man that steals, he's got to quit his stealing. The liar has to quit his lying. The one who's living in an adulterous relationship, he can't continue in that relationship. The drinker of alcoholic beverages, he's got to stop his drinking. The smoker needs to stop his smoking. The one who's fooling with illicit drugs, he needs to quit that. On and on we can name the many sins that we are prone sometimes to try to carry into a saved relationship with us, as if it's going to be all right just the same. But it's not all right just the same. When teaching is presented that shows that we are dead to sin and that we should not live any longer therein, like in Romans 6 and verse 2, some, rather than give up their sin, some will give up the Lord that demands the giving up of the sin. Some love sin so much, they're determined just to persist in it. They are sometimes encouraged to have the attitude toward sin because they see others disobeying God that way. And mother brethren sometimes refuse to discipline the unfaithful Christian, the sinful Christian, and as a result they think it's all right to continue in the ways of sin. But friend, we must learn that being a Christian has its cost, just like becoming a Christian has its cost. And Paul said that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If we do not overcome sin, sin will overcome us. But let me mention another thing that causes people sometimes to look back after they've put their hand to the plow. They become overconfident. Well, that spelled a disaster for a lot of people. Self-righteousness, the attitude that, well, it can't happen to me, and that's all the opportunity that the devil wants and the devil needs. People sometimes attitude, well, look what I've done over the years. Surely God is pleased with me. And people seem to think, why, nothing is ever going to cause me to leave the Lord. And we sing a song, I'll never forsake my Lord. That's a good sentiment. That's the attitude we ought to have. But friend, it can be true, one who has been faithful can fall away. Paul said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Did not Paul urge us to restore those who had fallen, along with the teachers, that we watch and be, lest we also be tempted, Galatians 6 and verse 1? We can never rest upon our laurels. Good deeds of yesteryear, oh, they're fine to remember, but they're nothing upon which to relax and to rely. Each day has its opportunities and duties, and we must meet those opportunities and duties with the same confidence and vigor as we did in years gone by. Some get the idea, because they did a good work in time past, that now they can sort of take it easy and will just coast sliding the rest of the way. Well, that gives the devil the opportunity to place something of his choosing into the thinking and the practice of a person that to fill that void of idleness. Having the attitude that one is probably better than most other members of the church, that will be one's undoing. We're not to measure ourselves by ourselves or compare ourselves with others. We're to measure by the standard of Jesus Christ. He is the standard. Now, more may be expected of you than some of the others, and you may be able to do more than some of the others. And if you do and are, why, the Lord expects more of you than others. But to become satisfied with past accomplishments, that will inevitably mean a sliding back from what you ought to be. It's tragic, friend, when one does not become a Christian. And that's because salvation is only in Christ. It's another tragedy when one who has come to Christ later turns away from Christ. Having once tasted of the good things of God, we would encourage people to be steadfast, to be loyal. Faithfulness will bring us the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We cannot put our hand to the plow and look back, and expect to be acceptable in the sight of God. Don't be deceived in the things that lead the people away from the truth. Hold fast to the truth. And friend, let me persuade you. Let us examine ourselves. And if we've fallen away, we read from Acts the 8th chapter, the way to be restored is repentance, confession of our sins, and the Christian taking advantage of the prayer for forgiveness. Now, the prayer for forgiveness is not to the alien, it's to the Christian who needs to be restored. Heaven will be inhabited by those who are faithful in Christ, but those who put their hand to the plow and look back, it will be eternal doom. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.